All right. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, real quickly, look at verse 17. It says, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And so we're going to talk about what that verse means this evening. Keep your place there, but go to Ecclesiastes chapter number 7. Ecclesiastes chapter number 7. And so the topic of the sermon tonight is real freedom. And basically this is, I'm not going to lie, this is more or less of a chest dump for me and probably for everybody else in here. We're going to talk about freedom as it applies to, obviously, everybody in our country, but more specifically, Idahoans, okay? And I'm going to show you what I mean by that here in a moment. If you're there in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, look at verse number 7. We're going to focus on the first half of this verse here. It says, in Ecclesiastes 7, verse 7, it says, surely oppression maketh a wise man mad, and a gift destroyeth the heart. And so obviously we understand about bribes, but we're not talking about the last half of the verse, but the first half there. It says, surely oppression maketh a wise man mad. Now that mad there, he's not saying like just, oh, it just gets you upset. But oppression can make somebody who can see truth just go absolutely nuts. I mean, if you've been studying through 1 Samuel with us, it wasn't just, a few weeks ago when David went and saw Achish, king of Gath, what happened to him. He realized in that moment that he'd made the wrong decision. He was stuck between a rock and a hard place. So literally, he's in oppression. And what does he do? He feigns himself as being mad. I mean, that is absolutely crazy. A guy who killed Goliath, a guy who slew thousands and thousands of the enemy, a guy who has obviously been told that he's going to take the place of the king, who's filled with the Spirit, so on and so forth. So basically what this means is that the best of men are men at best, okay? We need to not ever forget that. You know, and so the title of the sermon this evening is The Madness of Idahoans, The Madness of Idahoans. And what I mean by that is that there's a lot of people around here, okay? They have some wisdom, like they can see truth. They can kind of see how things are starting to shape, not only in this state, but in the country and in the rest of the world. And a lot of them are literally going insane. And I've been keeping track of my customers because, you know, I deal with Idahoans all day long, not only just with soul winning, but also obviously as part of my job. And so I determine in my heart, you know, after last Wednesday's sermon, I'm just going to pay attention to what people say when I go into their houses and stuff. And so I got a couple interesting stories, if you will. But one thing that we've all noticed in here is how people here, and look, I love this state. I love living here. This is the best place that I've ever lived. I mean, you want to talk about a state with, you know, the least amount of restrictions possible. I believe that that is here. I'm not against any of that, okay? I don't want, nobody in here, nobody in their right mind wants their freedoms gone, okay? But we still have to go about, you know, proclaiming freedom and talking about freedom in the right way and be able to prioritize those things. But, you know, people here, like, they can see this stuff that's coming down the pipe, and they literally are going insane. They're just freaking out all over the place. And so, you know, this verse comes to mind. It says, surely oppression maketh a wise man mad. Now, does that mean that everybody in here or in the state is wise? No, but it is a conservative state. It's a lot more conservative than other places that I have lived. And it seems like there's a lot of people here when we go out soul winning who it's like, man, you're like right there. You're not far. Thou art not far from the kingdom of God, right? But yet they're so fixated on every single little right amendment. They can't see the truth for what it is. They can't receive the gospel because their mind is just so clouded with, I've got to get what's mine. I have to get my rights. And so basically, we're just going to dismantle that in an effort to hopefully instill some empathy in us, right? To be able to continue to go out into the community and preach the gospel to these people, because that's the goal. That's the mission. Now turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. And so again, the best of men are men at best. And studying the life of David should obviously teach us that. And, you know, when we see these things coming down the pipe, like, you know, one thing that I've heard several times in the last 2 days is Bill Gates' cry for rich countries to start eating synthetic beef, you know, this Franken beef or vegan beef. I think they have some of it at Fred Meyer. So we were shopping the other day and it was like close to beef, something silly like that. Like, this is close to beef, but not beef. It's like, look, that is just disgusting. All right. And, you know, I think Brother Mike sent a link about that, and I was like, oh, man, that's nasty. And then literally not even an hour later, I had a customer. You know what Bill Gates is trying to do? He's not only trying to kill everybody in third world countries, he's trying to kill us all here and turn us all into effeminate people. And I'm like, you're somebody that needs to come to church. You need to get saved, you know? It didn't work out because that's all they could talk about was the synthetic beef. You know, oh, I'm not going to let them. I'm going to go get a car. I'm going to move to Montana. It's like, dude, calm down, calm down. And so again, I'm just going to start off here with another disclaimer. Look, I'm not against our rights. Obviously, we like our rights, and some freedoms are worth fighting for. I believe that wholeheartedly. In fact, Paul would agree. 2 Thessalonians 3, look at verse 1. It says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. That's a great prayer. That's a prayer that we should always be ready to administer, always be ready to pray and have on our hearts. Verse number 2, it says, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. Now, why does he say unreasonable and wicked men? Well, because unreasonable and wicked people tend to oppress us, don't they? Right? I mean, just having to work with somebody who's unreasonable, or God forbid you work for somebody who is unreasonable, who will not listen to counsel, who cannot discern truth, who cannot trust process, whatever. Those types of people can cause us to go absolutely mad. Look, when I'm at work and there's a process and it says you're going to do it this way, you have to do it, and people are like, you don't need to know that. You don't have to follow that. To me, I don't know about you, but that really bothers me. And it's not because I'm trying to be a goody two-shoes. It's because I want to do my job correctly, because I don't want to bring shame and reproach on the kingdom of God. And furthermore, those processes, those standards are there to help you out. You know, but it seems like there's always some unreasonable, wicked person that wants to make a name for themselves. And what do? They want to toss that stuff out and make your life a living hell. You know, it's just the same thing all the time. These people, they oppress us. And you know what? That's a prayer that we should obviously make, that God would deliver us from these types of people, because they're not only at your workplace, but they literally in every facet of life. You go to 99% of apartment complexes or neighborhoods around here, and those people are there waiting, salivating for us to literally come to their doors so that why they can call the police and make us and just completely go mad, right? Put us in a state of oppression. Now go back to 2 Corinthians chapter number 3, and we're going to move on here. And so again, obviously I believe that, you know, some freedoms are worth fighting for. Now others, you know, I don't want to lose them, but I'm not going to necessarily go out and hold signs down here on Fairview and Locust Grove for months on end when it's 100 degrees out, okay? Because it's unprofitable. It doesn't do anything. You know, these people, like I said this 1,000 times, they go around and, oh, I'm going to get these signatures to impeach it. How often does that work? What change does that make? These people are literally mad, and they don't know how to channel that energy that they have properly to really make a change, to really make a difference. And this is what's wrong with not only Idaho, but just this country in general. And it's a big trick, and we're going to talk about that here. Look at verse number 17 again real quick. It says, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So we're going to talk about that first part of the verse there where it says, now the Lord is that Spirit. What is he talking about? We'll go back to verse number 6. Look at verse number 6. It says this, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Okay, keep your place there, but go to Acts chapter number 13. Acts chapter number 13. And so if you were reading and following along there, you learned that the letter, what he's referring to there is the Mosaic Law. It is the Old Testament. It is what people often run to say we have to follow in order to what? In order to be saved. That's right. People, well, you got to follow the commandments. You got to follow the law. You got to you at least have to try, right? That's what we hear week after week, door after door, that you have to do that. And all that does is cause death, okay? I'm not saying that we don't need the law. We preach the law. We use the law. as it applies to us in our day and age. And obviously, it's been preserved for us to pull application and to see the mind and the heart of God and how we should live our lives and so on and so forth. So he's not discrediting the Old Testament by any means. He's simply just saying, hey, the law in and of itself is not going to save. So because, therefore, it cannot save, the only byproduct is if you want to follow that wholeheartedly and neglect salvation, you're going to die and you're going to go to hell. Now, again, look at Acts chapter 13, look at verse 39. It says this, Acts 13, look at verse 39. It says, and by him all that believe are justified from all things, from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. So again, the reason why the letter or the law kills is because simply it cannot save by itself. We understand that. The message of salvation is the same from the Old Testament all the way to the New Testament. Go to Romans chapter 3 real quick. Romans chapter number 3. And so it's important to have these verses available to understand this doctrine here, because this is literally probably our biggest battle. If you had to say, well, what's the number one battle that you battle week after week? It's going to be repent of your sins. It's going to be, well, this idea that the law can save you, or that, you know, God, well, he at least honors people who try. Okay, now is that true? Obviously not. People who try, because what are they trying to do? They're trying to work their way to heaven. That's what they're trying to do. Romans chapter 3, look at verse number 20. It says this, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. And so there you go. What is the purpose of the law? If somebody asks you that, if somebody is really literally hung up on that, can you explain that to them? Do you understand that? Well, you can get the answer right here. And what does it say? That none of us, no human being, ever has or ever will be justified by simply following the law. And it says, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. So why do we use the law? Why do we have the law? Why did God give us the law? It's because he wants humanity to know and to have a conscience of sin, to realize you can't measure up. And look, these people all know that. And that's why when you say, well, have you stopped all your sins? What do like 98% of people around here say? Well, most of them, right? And then the next thing right out of their mouth is what? As long as you ask for forgiveness every single day. That's what they always say. You got to ask for forgiveness right away. And it's like, well, what if you forgot like 18 of your sins? Because they're all mental and you're busy. Well, you just got this blanket prayer that you got to say, you know, and then just forgive me for all of them. It's like, I know for a fact you don't do that. These people do not, before they go to sleep, you know, Lord, please forgive me for this, and this, and anything I missed. You might find a couple, but you know what? They're going to skip a day, and they're going to forget. And then what? And then, according to their own standards, they are going to hell. Go to Galatians chapter number 3. Galatians chapter number 3. And so, again, we're just trying to get a solid understanding for what 2 Corinthians 3:17 says. Now, the Lord is that Spirit. What exactly does that mean? Galatians chapter 3, here's further proof that the law destroys. Look at verse 21. It says this, is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. Now, that's a game changer right there. That's a slam dunk deal. You show one of these repent of your sins journey people that, they have no other option but to be silenced or to walk back inside the house. Obviously, they could change their mind. But see, the reason why most people don't change their mind is because of pride, right? I have the right to repent of my sins. God loves us so much that I could just make my own way to heaven. That is the attitude of people in this state. Look at verse 22. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Not to them that believe and try. Not to them that believe and follow the law. It does not say that. Verse 23. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Now, he's not saying that back in the Old Testament, you were saved by turning from sins and following the commandments and doing the offerings and getting circumcised. That is not what that means whatsoever. Verse 24, wherefore the law is our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. Jesus Christ is the author and finisher of our faith. And he's simply referring to that event there, basically saying, hey, even though people in the Old Testament didn't know that, they were still waiting for that event to happen. And by the way, they were not waiting in a place called Abraham's bosom. That's false doctrine. Verse 25, it says, but after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. And that's very simple to understand. Anybody who is not saved, you're going to get judged by the law. You are literally judged by the law. Verse 26, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, not by obeying every single commandment and repenting of your sins. Now, go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter number 1. First Timothy chapter 1, verse 9 says this, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man. Now, you can stop somebody right there and say, hey, you know, you're telling me here that you have to follow the law, that you have to do these works, that you have to do whatever. But it says right here, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man. So what does that mean? Well, that means a righteous man, somebody who has had righteousness imputed unto them, someone who has been born again, guess what? This doesn't apply to them. The law is not made for them. And so you could bring that to their attention and say, how do you explain that? If you have to follow the law, then guess what? You are not saved. It says, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers. And then he continues on with that thought. Now, you can leave your place there real quick and go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. So again, all of that to make this statement here, and that is this. Idahoans are not free for this reason, because they are ministers of the law by and large. Everybody around here wants to, you know, scream and rant and rave about their freedoms. My freedoms. Joe Biden's taking my freedoms. He's taking my rights. And, you know, that's true. You know, I ain't gonna argue with that. There's definitely some truth to that. But what's the answer? To drive around Nampa with a middle finger flag hanging out of the back of your truck? You know, I've seen that guy numerous times now. I saw him one time a couple Saturdays ago, and now I've seen it like three other times. Or it's somebody else. I don't know. But, you know, is that the answer? But that's what most people think. You know, we've got to get mad. You know, they're just like you talk to most of these people, and they're like, you know what, we're just waiting for the right event that we can just take up arms and really go after them and get what's ours. It's like, good luck. You can't even go to the store right now and buy ammo. Has anybody walked down the aisles at D&B or Cabela's recently? There's nothing there. There's nothing there. So what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Absolutely nothing. But yet people in the state are just so fixated. You know what? We're the last stronghold. We're what's basically holding America up, right? It's the people in Idaho. It's Idahoans. But you know what? When you talk to them about what they believe concerning God, and it's, well, that's my right. That's my choice. That's my decision. I don't have to share that with you. Or if they do share it with you, it's, oh, it's whatever I decide. It's whatever I want it to be. That's my right, right? These people are literally mixed up. But by and large, obviously not everyone, but by and large, most Idahoans are not free because they are ministers of the letter. They are basically part of the human achievement religion. They are trying to work their way to heaven. And so again, quick review, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, it says this, who hath also made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. And so he's contrasting people who would trust in the law versus people who get born again and indwelt by the Spirit or the Holy Ghost. What gives life? It's God. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Lord Jesus Christ and the work that he did on the cross. That is where life comes from. It does not come from the law. But Paul is not saying again, we just toss the law out. It's not applicable because you know what? That is going to be the law in the millennium reign. A lot of people, oh, Jesus loves LGBTQ. Well, he's not going to love them in the millennium. So what makes you think he loves them now? What's the millennium? Right? That's what some people, a lot of people are saying stuff like that. What's the millennium? It's like, what do you do at church? Yeah. You know what they do? They sit around and they listen to Hillsong, or they listen to the Christian rock, or they play Joel Osteen on a screen. That's about it. Yep. Now again, look at verse number 17. It says this, now the Lord is that Spirit. So he is the Spirit that gives life. And it says this, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So what is the first application of that verse? What does that mean? Well, it means that where the Spirit of the Lord is, whom he has indwelt, that individual, regardless of national circumstances, you are free. You are no longer in bondage to the world's philosophy that you have to work your way to heaven. Now, is it true that because we are literally as a nation telling God we don't need you in our schools, in our public places, that he's departing his hand from America? Of course, that is also very, very true. But what we need to understand is that our freedom is eternal, and it begins the moment that you get saved. That is what is very important for us to understand. So here's the second statement that I want to make, is that Idahoans are in bondage because they are chasing temporary freedom. You see, their goal, unfortunately, is not, hey, what pleases the Lord? What does he say about salvation? What does he say about freedom? But it's, hey, I want the gas prices to go back down, and I want it to go down now. And look, we all want that. We all want all these little freedoms that we still have left. But that is their priority. That is what they are focused on. That is what they are fixated on. In fact, today I went to this guy's house. It's the second time I've been there in a couple years. Well, a year and a half. And he's like, hey, man, it's good to see you. He's like, man, take that mask off. You look like Sub-Zero. He's like, look, I don't like that stuff here, man. I was like, hey, no problem, man. I'll take it off. It's all good. I was like, I have to wear it. It's like, I don't know. They try to tell me to wear one. He's like, I do what I want. I'm like, oh, all right, man. You know, he's just real upset. And I kind of knew what his problem was going to be. Like, he needs a new appliance. I didn't tell him that yet, but he was already upset. He's like, man, I just took my dog to the vet. $500. He's like, you're probably going to tell me something's going to cost $200. I'm like, oh, it's going to be more like $8 or $9, but sure, buddy. And he's like, yeah, well, go ahead. So I figured out his problem. You know, he needs a new washer. It was like $800 to fix it. He's like, oh, great. You know what? You know these prices because of Joe Biden. He raised our gas. I'm like, look, he hasn't had that much time. Okay? The appliance industry sucks. That's why you're in the position that you're in. You bought a cheap washer and it's gone bad in 3 years. He's like, I'm the only person who used it. You know, it's these liberals. He's like, you know what, my friends? Yeah, it's the liberals. I'm like, look, dude, I'm with you, man. I'm trying to like help this guy, you know, like talk to him. But he don't want to talk about any of this stuff. He's like, my friends that are liberals, man, or that are conservatives, he's like, they're moving from California. He's like, and they're buying all this land up in Montana. I was like, really? He's like, yeah, and I'm about to jump ship. I was like, oh, what, are you going to move out of Idaho? He's like, oh, yeah, because of Chicken Little. I was like, Chicken Little. I'm like, all right. I was like, by this point, I'm just laughing. And I'm like, but why do you want to leave here, man? Don't you want to fight for your freedoms? You know, if everybody like you leaves, then all that's going to be left are the commies. And he's like, I don't care about them. I only care about myself and my dog. I'm like, man, I'm writing this down. I'm a little notebook here to make sure I don't miss anything. I'm like, okay. I'm like, so, hey, man, how's work been going? Because he's a chef. You know, I nicknamed him Chef Goyardee because he kind of looks like that guy. But he's like, I haven't worked since March 31st of last year. I was like, wow, this guy's got a huge house, too. This is no, like, you know, just some dude in an apartment. This guy's got a big house. I'm like, you know, I'm sorry to hear that. And I was like, well, why? He's like, well, I'm a chef down at the Boise State Center, I think he said. And we host large groups and large gatherings. I'm like, man, well, are you going to do that in Montana? And he's like, yeah, something like that. I was like, you know, they got a Democratic governor, right? He's like, what? I was like, are you crazy? No, they don't. I was like, yeah, they do. Go look it up. In fact, I even went to his Facebook page, and he's got a book on there. I believe that he wrote an article on there. It's basically a blueprint for how these communists are literally going to red states and infiltrating every area of government and basically taking over and allowing communism to rule and reign. And he's like, his face is getting red. He's like, you are full of bad news today. He's like, I can't take this. I'm like, well, at least I gave you some tips on, you know, what kind of washer to buy. I mean, that's something, right? And he's like, no, man, this isn't good. I'm like, well, I'm just going to leave then. He's like, and this was a real easy stop for you, too. You've only been here for like 25 minutes. I'm like, well, hey, is there anything else you want me to do? You want to look at your dryer? Nah, the heck with that dryer. I don't care about it. I'm like, all right, man, well, give me my money and I'm out of here. You know what I mean? But that, I mean, I was just thinking about this point. You know, Idahoans are in bondage because they're chasing temporary freedom. This guy is not only chasing temporary freedom, but he's literally running away to find it. He wants to go to another state. It's like, where are you going to go? But, you know, it's like, man, I get it. He can see evil. I'll give him that. He can see the evil and the things that are popping up left and right. And it's like, man, if you can see that, why can't you see the truth of the Bible? You know, this culture that's being set up, that's being displayed, it's mentioned in the Bible. You can find it. Literally, there's nothing new under the sun. This is how it's going to be. The Bible says that the end times would be like the days of Noah. You know, and you try to mention this stuff to people and they're just like, no, but my rights, my what I want should go. I want these gas prices. I want my guns. I want my ammo. And it's like, you're not going to get any of that until you people learn the truth and what God really says about freedom. God doesn't care about your temporary freedom. He cares about the freedom from the devil, from the snare that he has put over the minds and hearts of people in this world. That is what he cares about. And because there is this apathetic attitude today about God in this country, you know what? He's like, you know what? The heck with your ammunition. I don't care about your gas prices. I don't care about the housing market. Prepare for war. That is his attitude. Now, go to Galatians chapter number 5. Galatians chapter 5. And when you really think about it, what these people are doing is they're trying to run back 30 years, 40 years, 50 years. They want the America of the 50s. And look, so do I. You know, so do all of us, okay? Because I guarantee you, if we were in the 50s going soul winning, how many people do you think would come out and be like, oh, I'm calling the cops. I'm going to knock you out. I'm going to beat you up if you knock on that door. It's like, do you own that door? Do you pay the rent? No, but I'll knock you out. You probably wouldn't find that. And so, yeah, things were better back then. I get it. I understand it. But you know what? This is the day and age that we live in, and we have to adapt, and we have to just learn to go forward and realize that, you know what? These people are chasing the past rather than a solution. You know, Jessica was talking yesterday. I was just talking to her parents, and I'm not sure how this came up, but she was mentioning about how when she grew up in the Nazarene denomination, how they would they had standards. They wouldn't go to movies. They wouldn't do dancing. They wouldn't do, you know, things that we're all against, you know? They wouldn't have female pastors. They would never even entertain the thought of a sodomite coming into the congregation. Now today, all of that is completely out the window. The red carpet literally is rolled out for the sodomites. They have female pastors. In fact, I talked to a guy not too long ago who was trying to be ordained as a minister in the Nazarene denomination, and he said one of the things that woke him up was that there were several sodomites that were training to be sent out to be ordained ministers in that denomination. That literally woke him up to what's going on. And so all I'm trying to tell you is that running back 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago is definitely not the solution. This book right here, In Real True Freedom, that is the solution. And we need to understand that. So Galatians chapter 5, look at verse number 13. Galatians 5, look at verse 13. It says this. So Paul tells him this. He says, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Right? And that's what we're talking about today. Freedom, liberty. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Now, what I want to do is just kind of focus on that statement. He says, don't use your liberty for an occasion to the flesh. And he's going to explain why that is so dangerous in these coming verses. Now, jump down to verse number 17. Jump down to verse number 17. Now, obviously, we shouldn't use things that are doubtful disputations and so on and so forth. Things that aren't, you know, clear in the Bible or sins just going around and saying, well, I'm saved. I'll just do whatever I want to. Obviously, we shouldn't have that attitude. But here's the thing. Idahoans on a certain level, if you will, they kind of live by this verse because they're in the flesh. By and large, they're not saved, right? And what are they trying to do? They're using that as an occasion to justify their agenda. Give me all my rights back. Now, here's why this is so dangerous here. Look at verse 17. It says this, "For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would." And this is why Paul said, "Chief sinner that I am." This is why every single one of us have trouble. We have issues. We have battles. You know, it's time to get up in the morning, and then your body's like, no. Your new man's like, you don't want to be late. You know how it goes. It's the daily grind. It's the fight that we have to endure every day. Verse 18, he says, "But if you be led by the Spirit, you're not under the law." Look at verse 19. He says this, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest." Now he's going to explain what this means to us and why we need to be aware of this. But what we all need to understand before we read this is that your politicians today and these lawmakers, they don't have the Spirit by and large. They are not saved, born again, Bible-believing people. Not all men have faith. In fact, most politicians are unreasonable and wicked people. Yeah. And you only get to see what the news media portrays of them. Okay, so he says, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." So he lists all of these terrible and horrible things. Now, what is really being promoted today? What kind of laws are being developed, being proposed, and being passed in our country today? Are they laws that protect children? No. Are they laws that protect marriage? Are they laws that protect human life? No, not at all. But what are they? They are laws that promote adultery in verse 19. Right? Making it easier for people to get divorced. In fact, encouraging that behavior. Fornication, right? Providing, oh, we got to give free medical care out and free, you know, whatever, gonorrhea medication and all these horrible STD type diseases. We got to give these out for free. Isn't that what Bernie's big thing is? You know, we got to give out, we got to get free student loans. We got to give free medication to everybody. We got to reinstitute Obamacare, right? Why? Because with these unhealthy lifestyles comes a lot of health problems. Uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft. I mean, that type of stuff is being promoted on an alarming level today. Who was it that sent me the article about the satanic temple or whatever here in Idaho that's like setting up shop and trying to get into the schools? Somebody in here sent it. Well, thanks for sending me that. But your local government here in Idaho is protecting their rights. What do you think about that? That is appalling. You think God's all about freedom of religion? Is that how it will be during the millennial reign? Oh, freedom. You want to worship Satan? No problem, man. It's your right. You got to have that right in order for me to worship the Lord. No, it's his way or the highway. That's how it is. Okay. And so you need to understand that. But he says hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. I mean, what is being allowed on YouTube today and on all social media? It's not us. I mean, we have to fight. The only reason we're on there is because nobody knows who we are. You know, we're kind of young in this game, right? You know, but I have a feeling once we get over 1,000 subscribers, you know, we're going to start to run into some trouble, right? I mean, our friends who have, you know, thousands of subscribers, they have to be very careful with what they upload and what they allow on YouTube, and have to have backup channels, and someday it will be the same thing for us. Why is that? Why doesn't Joel Osteen or T.D. Jakes or Paula White, why don't they, Kenneth Copeland, Benny Hinn, why don't they have to have backup channels and stuff? Because laws are being made to protect the works of the flesh, which are heresies. They don't have a care in the world. They don't have to worry about anything because ultimately the devil runs the world. We get it. God's definitely in charge. and he is allowing the devil to run this place. When I was in the military, they always have, you get to a new unit, they always have the chief officer and the chief enlisted person up there, and he'd always be like, he's in charge, but I run this place. You know, and that's kind of true in our world today. Obviously, God's in charge, but the devil's running the show. He's allowing his course to flow through society and to flow through culture today. And these things are what are being promoted. But when you bring this stuff up to people out in the community, they're like, oh, teach his own. It's fine. It's okay. It's no problem. We need freedoms. That is wrong. Now, verse 21 again says, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now turn to Psalm 118. He's not saying, oh, if you slip up and you sin, or you had a bad thought, you lost your salvation. Okay, that's not what he's saying. For future reading, go read 1 John chapter 5, verse 18, which says, whatsoever is born of God sinneth not. And then go read John chapter 3. Once you're born again, you don't sin anymore. I mean, your sins are your past sins, your present sins, and your future sins. They are all bought and paid for. They are done. That new person that God has created inside of us, that doesn't sin. It's the flesh, right? It's us. It's the old us. It's the old man. That is what sins. And so I just like to throw that out there, because not everybody always knows that every single service here. Now, I'm going to just read a quick article to you that I found a while back, but I thought it was interesting. This is from the Idaho Statesman, okay? Now, it says this. Some of you have heard this before, but it says this. Are you enjoying a glass of wine, Idaho? It turns out you're definitely not alone. And the reason why I wanted to bring this up is because this is going to shed some light on some people's moods when we're out there on Thursday nights knocking people's doors. It says, Idahoans drink the most wine per capita. According to a new analysis from VinePair, Idaho residents drink 1.2 gallons of wine per capita. And while West Virginians, Kansans, and Mississippians drink less than 0.2 gallons of wine per capita. However, they do drink about a gallon of beer and 2 gallons of spirits each year. You're saying, well, what does per capita mean? It means per head, per person. So generally speaking, it says that 1.2 gallons of wine in this state are drank by every single person. Now, obviously, we don't, you know, subscribe to that. I don't promote that. But that really kind of puts people's attitudes out there in a little bit of perspective. You know, has anybody gone soul winning Saturday morning and somebody's just been like, what? You woke me up. It's like, sorry, man, it's 12:30, you know, on Saturday. Yeah, the sun's up, you know. Well, there you have it, you know. This is probably why they're hungover, you know. But what will these people say? That's my right. I have that right. Do you think God wants to protect that right? No, that's being abused in this state. But yet Idahoans, hey, my rights, man. I've got rights. I have the right for you to just shut your mouth and not bother anybody around here in my neighborhood. He goes on to say, Idahoans were drinking far more wine per capita than any other state. Washington, D.C. earned the number 2 spot with about 1.1 gallons of ethanol. So they're going to the Chevrons. No, I'm just kidding. It's just, oh. I kind of believe that, okay? I don't know. I've never been there, but what I see and hear coming from D.C., it doesn't surprise me. So there you have it. Okay. Psalm 118, we're almost done. Look at verse number 5. It says this, I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. Now that large place there is just another way of saying freedom, right? Because what's the opposite of a large place? A small place. Maybe you would think of a jail cell. You're not very free in there. If you don't have, you know, room to roam around, you don't feel free, do you? But notice what he says here. I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. And here's the last statement that I want to make is Idahoans are in bondage because they have failed to admit that they are in distress. They'll say, well, I'm angry. I'm upset. These people are coming at us and we got to do something. We got to take up arms. Now, unfortunately, there could be a time where that happens. You know, for example, I don't know, UN comes into town and says, you know, we're just going to start wiping out subdivisions. it's too many people, you know? Do you think I'm just going to stand there and... No, I'm going to protect myself and protect my family. But that's not the point here. The people in this state are in bondage because they have failed to admit that they are literally in distress. Because when you talk to them and you ask them, do you know for sure if you died today that you would go to heaven? No. But Joe Biden caused gas prices to raise 40 cents. It's like, yeah, it's going to get worse. How are you going to live, man? What are you going to do? I talked to a woman this morning. And her husband has Alzheimer's, and she was, you know, just started talking to me while I was working. And I could relate to that because my dad and stuff. And, you know, so we started, you know, talking about that. And she's like, you know, I think that God's using me still in a big way, because when I go down to the center and I put the mask on, the face shield on, they make me put on a full gown and gloves and sit behind this plexiglass thing. And when I don't cry, I think people see my strength. And then that gives them hope and encouragement. And I was like, oh, okay. I don't know what to say to that. But anyways, and she goes, are you a Christian? I said, yeah, I am. I said, are you? And she's like, oh, yeah, of course. You know, I'm just trying to find out, you know. And I was like, well, yeah. I was like, actually, I'm a pastor. We pastor Shield of Faith Baptist Church. She gave her the location. And she's like, you're a pastor? I'm a good Christian. I was like, you are? I'm like, look, and I'm thinking to myself, I didn't say this, but I'm like, I'm not Santa Claus, all right? I'm not going to give you something. She's like, I'm a good Christian. I was like, great. I'm like, well, so what all do you do? Where do you go to church? And she sidestepped all that. And she says, you know what really is starting to bother me? She's like, the mask that you're wearing? I'm like, look, I you didn't tell me I could take it off. I'm about to leave now, so it doesn't make any sense. You know what I mean? And she's like, and Joe Biden. I'm like, look, I think he's a pedophile. And she's like, oh, I don't know about that. Yeah. Wait a minute here. Wait a minute here. I'm like, thinking to myself, you don't see that truth? You know, but she just goes on and just she's just like, you know, this whole thing's a scam. I can't believe this. You know, we're not going to get our rights back is what she's saying. She's like, they're going to take our right to eat beef away. I was like, well... Are you talking about Bill Gates? She's like, yeah, he's going to take our rights away to eat real, wholesome, organic foods. She's like, that's why he's buying up all the farmland. I'm like, well, that is kind of alarming, okay? But that's unfortunately a sermon for another day. But, you know, I was just thinking about this. She's in distress because she's a quote-unquote Christian and has no idea where she's going to go when she dies. And this is what people are failing to realize, you know. They just don't understand this. They're not mad about what upsets God, okay? They're not upset about that. They're upset about their personal rights. And again, that's a problem. We need to understand that. They're not upset because the government is violating the Lord Jesus Christ's statutes and his commandments. I mean, they're not mad that Joe Biden put his hand on a Bible and swore to uphold the Constitution. And then later on, so I'm gonna appoint this transgender dyke faggot looking thing to be the Department of Health, whatever. Talk about stupidity, right? And I'm gonna cancel all these jobs, which, you know, basically destroys families and puts hardships on people. And by the way, I'm going to, you know, send my ambassadors overseas, and I'm going to put sanctions on Nigeria because they're against the queers. And I mean, look, we should be upset about that because that upsets God. But what do they do? No, I don't care about that stuff. That's not what I'm talking about. He took my right to go to the gas pump and get gas for $1.99. Okay, this is what the issue is. They're not admitting the real reason why they are in distress. And so that's why I say this all the time. This nation, this state is experiencing death by apathy. There is a lack of interest. There is a lack of concern regarding the Lord Jesus Christ. What about his standards? What about the Bible? What about his commandments? They don't care about that anymore. All they care is about their selves, right? They're not worried about, you know, anything else. They're not worried about Kamala Harris, whatever her name is, you know, putting her hand on, I think it was a Bible, I don't know, look at your stack of newspapers or something, but they're not worried about that. And then what she goes on and preaches and teaches to the nation. making it easier for these pedophiles to get into schools and into libraries to, you know, train up children and teach them love and peace and hope and joy. That's disgusting. That is what upsets God. And so I'm wrapping this thing up here, okay? The last statement that I wanted to make was Idahoans are in bondage because they have failed to admit that they are in distress. They're not worried about God's laws. They're worried about laws that give them what they view as freedom. You know, and we need to understand, you know, our freedom is not found in these temporary things. It's found in salvation. You can get saved in North Korea right now, and guess what? You're free. You're as free as you'll ever be. You're more free than somebody in this country. It may not seem like it, but it is the truth. Because real freedom, real liberty is not being bound by the course of this world, by being bound by Satan and his trap and the human achievement stuff. And so again, obviously, some freedoms are worth fighting for. You know, I'm not against going to the Capitol if they try to do this mandatory vaccine thing or to shut us down permanently or to make it so that we can't go out and preach the gospel. You know, even Paul would agree with that. And he told the Thessalonians that, and we need to understand that. You know, they try to say, well, you know what? You can't eat real foods anymore. Only Bill Gates approved, you know, synthetic soy beef. You know, what's the whole point of that? Well, it's to feminize people. That's what it's for. It's to effeminize men. It's to make men so they're more like women and to make women more like men, which doesn't work. It goes contrary to the way that God designed the human race. And so what is the result of that? It will be a total, utter collapse. Perfect timing for somebody to come in and say, hey, I got the solution here. I've reached a higher state of consciousness. You can look to me. These people are all idiots. I can do this. I can levitate. Whatever, right? People say, I'll take that mark. You know, you don't think that the devil isn't conditioning societies today to accept the Antichrist? You're crazy. That's where all this points to. But Idahoans, they don't want to talk about that. They want to talk about their ammunition. And again, we're not against ammo here. It's just we need priorities in life, okay? God wants his children to have priorities. And so the last thing I want to say is that, you know, we just need to understand the error of these people here in a hope to give us a better heart for them, to have some empathy for them, and to realize, you know what, we need to reach them. We need to have the answers ready and available for them to encourage them to know what it is. Don't just get saved and stay home. Do something. Do something that has eternal lasting effects, because that's where you can really make a change. I think that if we can start getting this through more people's heads out there, that, man, this thing's just going to explode, seriously explode, and we will do some real damage. You know, we'll be talking in the millennium about how, man, we really made a difference. Everybody looked down on us. Oh, you're hateful. You're a bigot. You're this. You're that. You're this. Yeah, but we really stuck it to the commies. Because we understood what true freedom was, and that's what we decided to promote. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Thank you again, Lord, for allowing us to be able to still have some freedoms, Lord, to be able to meet here and, you know, just fellowship and enjoy laughter and learn and edify one another without the threats of the authorities, Lord. And we do pray that your word would have free course, Lord, in this country again and in this state. But whatever happens, Lord, pray that you would give us the strength to not be worn out by the wicked one, Lord, and we do pray that you would deliver us from unreasonable and wicked people. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.